Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got lots to dive into. The big story today as we start the program is starting to talk to folks about the Jimmy Lake replacement at D.C. And first up was the Bengals defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo.
I know. I think all their money went towards the offense up there. And, okay, who's your best player on defense for the Falcons?
Bates.
Where did he come from? Yeah. I would ask him.
Bates.
I would put far more emphasis on what he says than what user 8Q777 says on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that he lost one of his best leaders on that team. He still has Greg Hendrickson. I was just telling Chris today before the show, you could argue that, you know, the Super Bowl and when he finally got a shot to be a DC at the NFL level, it was amazing, and we all know how good that team was in just a few plays maybe winning the championship. But the money, as you said, a lot of assets dedicated to the offensive side. Greg Hendrickson is better than anybody we've got on pass rush. And even with all the injuries, I think you could make the argument that the Bengals are still better than anything the Falcons rolled out with any lineup this year, even, you know, missing
Jesse
Bates.
Pretty depleted, though, but he's known as a schemer, innovative schemer, creates chaos, confuses quarterbacks.
Sorry, I said Greg Hendrickson is a buddy of mine. He's a referee. That's Trey Hendrickson. Greg, by the way, I didn't mention this.
Should I correct you on air when you do that?
Please do. Yes.
I normally don't feel like.
No, I tell Carl all the time because I'm not as bad as Steak, and I love you, Steak, but I'm a close second. You know, because, you know, Steak today, like the Falcons talking to Lou Albano today. But, check that. Lou Alfano, check that.
Wink Martindale, loved him on Gambit. Tic-tac-toe.
No, I mean, I butchered the name. I'm not as bad. I mean, we all do it from time. You speak 5 hours extemporaneously. I do butcher names. But like I said, I always say, like, you know, if you go with Trey, yes, his brother Greg. But, you know, no, but Greg Hendricks is a good buddy of mine. He's a referee who lives up in Woodstock, good friend of Carl and I, who unfortunately this year.
NFL referee?
No, he's not high. He does college. He does, like, you know, like Division III, you know, and also high school. And he's done state championships. But he's a guy, I want to say it was a semifinal this year. I don't want to put him on blast, but he's trying to track down a receiver who's taken it to the house, and his hamstring rolls up like a party favor.
Oh, no.
And he's down for the count.
Oh, no.
So my boy Greg is like, I don't think I'm going to be running the sidelines anytime soon. But Trey is the guy that gets all the sacks on the Bengals.
Yep.
But now if you know Greg, great guy. Maybe you'll see him up there at Woodstock one day. Good guy. But, the Bengals still are a better defense despite all their shortcomings and where they ranked at the end of the year. And Chris pointed out today before our show meeting. So, I don't have a problem. If it is Lou Anarumo and that's who they think fits best with what we're trying to do, okay. But I still think he's coming from a better team. He didn't do as much with more, I guess, is the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, I just want players. Can we get some good interior defensive linemen? Can we get an athletic linebacker? Can we get somebody to supplement A.J. Terrell in the secondary as well? I mean, those are the needs that stand out to me.
Yeah, and the other aspect
is get some players, Jimmy's and Joe's,
right,
man.
And this we said it yesterday, and it's funny because the only place in America where people actually lobby for the front office. It hasn't been in the playoffs for 7 years, and this general manager for four. But I was like, yeah, maybe you have your press conference after you whack the defensive coordinator and explain how you're going to fix the defense. You just got a guy fired.
They did it for the news dump.
They did the news dump on a Saturday. You know, this just in. So yeah, that's just, you know, you know me. I'm not very fond right now how this organization is functioning, but you got to get better guys. I mean, you look like, for instance, last night, Rob, look at the Rams. You lose a generational talent, right?
Yeah.
You've got one of the greatest defensive linemen, Aaron Donald. He leaves. The next year, your first playoff game without Aaron Donald, you got 9 sacks.
Yeah.
Because you drafted.
And that's not a D line littered with first rounders. You got Chris Shula, Don Shula's grandson.
And they're all middle rounders. They did an unbelievable. That was Raheem Rams last year with the Rams. I would like to think he would hopefully involved with some of the guys we drafted. Eventually we'll see him on the field. But, I mean, that Rams draft last year and then the year before, but this is the most recent with Jared Verse and Braden Fisk, those guys get after it. And, by the way, we'll talk more about it coming up in the headlines. Sam Darnold, I mean, it was almost like you were watching like a ticker on a stock on CNBC.
I was about to say.
And every time something happened, like, and now you're making $35 million a year. $30 million a year.
It's like watching Enron stock, right?
Right. But that was impressive. But that's Les Snead. But they're doing the dirty work. They're getting those guys. I mean, it used to be all those years with the Rams. F those picks, and we'll get into free agency. And that defense was amazing last night. It's been amazing the second half of the season.
How much money are the Falcons going to have, though? They can restructure a lot of dudes. They have to be willing to do that. But I would think they would want to if they want to win.
Right.
I mean, there's certainly a way around the Kirk Cousins issue. I know that's an albatross seemingly, but there's certainly a way around it.
I mean, you would take the hits. The thing is, the way it's been explained to me, no matter how you do it post June 1 designation, you're still taking a $40 million dead cap hit this year and a $25 the following year. And the good news is the Broncos, because they also draft better than we do. They didn't take Troy Andersen. They took Nick Benito. Yeah. You know, they take guys to get on the field and 30 sacks in 3 years, as opposed to guys has half a sack in his nine games that he played.
Nine games in three.
You know, but the Broncos, that's the positive glass half full, Rob, is they're in cap hell, and they're the first team with that much dead cap space to make the playoffs.
Yep. Well, we see how they ended up in the playoffs. So, basically all the home teams won except for the Buccaneers.
Right.
Isn't that something?
And they, I think, didn't really manage the clock very well. No. I thought they got too cute. We talked about the defensive schematics yesterday. Almost like an overreaction to Jaden Daniels with too much guys spying, taking people out of coverage. And it kind of came
They had two guys spying on one particular play that they that they showcased, and they got burned by that.
Right.
And how many times in that key play at the end of the game where he was able to run for that first down, you had him in the backfield?
Right, missed tackle. Same thing we did at times.
We did that a lot as well. We couldn't get them on the ground.
But I do, you know, like moving forward, Washington to at least be competitive for a half before DC drops the hammer, right? I would think. The Rams and Eagles are an interesting matchup, too, now because style makes the fight. And knowing that, you know, Jalen Hurts coming off the concussion, he threw two touchdowns. He was clean, but he wasn't, you know, he didn't look great.
No.
You know, since the 2 weeks of rust. A.J. Brown wasn't a factor. So I think, you know, you try. I mean, you still got Saquon Barkley, but all of a sudden that game seems a lot more compelling.
I was saying the Rams were dangerous coming into the playoffs. They're getting healthy. You've got Matt Stafford. There's nothing on the football field he hasn't seen.
Right.
Sean McVay, probably the highest IQ coach, brilliant football mind. Oh, and look at Shula. Right. Not a failed coach like his dad or uncle.
Yeah, now is it David's son?
It's David's son.
Yeah, and Dave. Oh, for guys of Chris's generation, David Shula. Oof. Yeah, the Shula.
Mike Shula, Alabama failure. David Shula, the Bengals. Yep.
And David Shula was basically the quarterback's coach. Yeah, like as if Dan Marino, Dave Archer tells some great stories about being in the quarterback meeting room and Dave Shula trying to get these meetings going, and Marino with his feet up on the table. Like, you're spitting sunflower seeds with sunglasses on. And David, come on, Dan, let's get serious here.
Did he have his little spoon around his neck?
Yeah, I want to say that it was McMahon, and either Jaworski and Arch in Miami as part of the backup room.
Yeah.
And the way that Arch tells the story, next time we have him on, we'll have him tell the story. And David, because no one respects Dave because it's pure nepotism.
Yeah, of course.
You know, Dad's not true, and Dave is like this little twit.
I'm tell up, my dad yeah, if you don't listen yeah, to me.
He wound up running the steakhouse, which apparently he's better at than being a football coach. But the way he tells the story is Shula's trying to run the meeting, and Marino's like, hey, man, pick a guy, let it fly.
I just pantomime blow. So, that's unfair.
But his son, you know, David, the talent has moved up a generation. How about that?
Poor Dan Marino. Never had a running game. That's all he needed down there.
I know. And aside in the defense with Tom Olivadotti, I used to have tickets for that team. But it is Rob Tribble in for Carl Dukes today. We're live at State Farm Arena. We'll be talking all about the Falcons. Get your take. We'll open up the phone lines and see who do you guys want. Off the top of my head, I'd like to talk to Robert Saleh. Do you have a guy for D.C.?
No, I want players.
I mean, you'll get that too, but who's going to be your guy directing them?
You know, I don't know. Maybe Saleh, but would Raheem want a guy coming in who might be his replacement sort of thing?
That's what I said. See, Carl said that's not a problem. I said,
that's always a little bit of an issue.
Because you know if you struggle, you've got a guy that can jump right in and take that gig.
And I think Saleh might be too much of an alpha for Raheem, though. He's kind of a...
I don't know. That's a good way. I mean, I don't want to play pocket psychologist, but some folks would.
Oh, I'm willing to do it.
I know you are.
I read the DSM every day when I'm sitting on the can. I know everything about every malady whatsoever. I can weed out the red flags in my life, my friend.
Hey, Rob's in for Carl. This hour at Dukes and Bell is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. Just go PADLYBuys.com. That's Padley. We are live at State Farm. We will get into the Hawks. We'll talk a lot of NFL. Talk some Georgia, too. One thing before we go to break. Today, it was like innocently enough, I was on the Twitter, don't say X, and I just mentioned a tweet, and I said, you know, I've talked to a couple of, you know, when I say Georgia insiders, some of the guys that you hear, because, you know, we talk to, you know, Connor Riley, and, you know, we have a bunch of guys you hear on the station, we're friends, we talk to Rusty Manziel, and the point I was getting to on Twitter today, I said, you know, do you feel if you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, you know, and I said, I'm asking, you know, Georgia insiders, why Kirby wouldn't be looking to improve any area that needs improvement, OC, and
right.
O-line.
Right.
Because the trenches, and again, and I didn't put Schumann out there for defense. A couple guys brought up Schumann. I think if you're Kirby with the resources he has, everything's up for grabs every season, evaluated.
He can get anything he wants whenever he wants it, I would think. Right.
And, look, I know that Bobo's always a lightning rod. I just don't – you feel that Bobo is the best you could get as offensive coordinator? I'd like to think there's a younger I don't know, a different approach. I think Kirby's easy married to it. I don't know.
But I guess I would push back by saying, why don't you get guys you can block? Why don't you get guys that can actually catch the ball?
And that's what that's what Georgia fans were telling me today. But I also said, you know, there's games like Alabama where, hey, let's get into a peeing contest with Jalen Milroe. Why don't just run the damn ball and get the game back in your side?
Right.
You know, as opposed to letting the –
I mean, that's a good point,
you.
Too. I mean, yeah, sure. But I think it's all about the players, though, man. It's all about the players.
And that's what a lot of guys are saying. And in the world of college football now where everything is so, you know, fair. Now, what do you think is unfair for your team that's been a powerhouse? But it's just so balanced. And just one or two players can tip the table to, you know, to Notre Dame's favor. So that's kind of the world that Georgia's living in. But I just think it shows you again, Rob, just how hard it is to win championships. And Georgia, yes, I get Georgia fans are spoiled. But I don't want to fall back into that complacency era of like, oh, can't do any better than Mark Richt. You know, I mean,
there was a complaint, but he's such a good man.
Of course he is.
of course he is.
And everybody knows
great.
Who. And everybody knows.
So is Kirk Cousins, but you got to sit his ass down.
Hey, all of these guys are good. I didn't really get to meet Jimmy Lake maybe once or twice at Falcons. They're not like these are guys going like, let me throw a child in front of a moving train. No, they're all good guys. They're all getting paid millions of dollars to do this job, but you got to do it better. It is Dukes and Bell, Atlanta's number one sports talk show with our man Rob Tribble in for Carl, who's a little bit under the weather. There's so much funky stuff going on out there. I went to go to the walk-in clinic because I was like, if I was a rap artist, my name would be Lil Snotty. So I was really feeling under the weather the other day, and I just went online, got some antibiotics, and I'm fine right now. But just it's always something in my chest and congested, and apparently that's going around for a lot of folks.
Well, it's lifestyle choices, Mike.
Will you stop it? Have you smoked a cigar in like 2 weeks, Rob? First world problems.
I apply myself with everything, and I'm just fine.
Well, again,
maybe there's something to that.
Rob, my father, Dean Martin, usually I believe that there's a good idea of being constantly pickled, and that will keep you healthy. And keep all the cooties away.
Always keep your immune system challenged and interested. Don't bore your immune system with being healthy.
Right. As Jim McMahon told Dave Archer, who told me, you know, that's the thing with your body. You've got to test yourself to make sure your body will respond. And on that note, it's time for our daily download.
Story number one.
So who's going to be the D.C.? Off the top of my head, Robert Saleh, Steve Wilkes' name was mentioned.
Wink Martindale interviewed.
Today, right?
Yeah.
He's got a pretty strong rep going back to his days with Baltimore.
Looked pretty good at Michigan this year.
Right.
Ohio State to 10 points, held Alabama to 13 in their bowl game.
Right. And as we mentioned, certainly Lou Alarumba. See, I told you, Steak, it would creep in. Coach Lou Albano would be a nice addition here. You know, there's certainly a resume that if you discount the fact that through free agency or just injuries just chipped away at the core that got the AFC championship, and you feel he's a guy that you like, okay, then you roll the dice with him. But certainly I got no problem with them taking a week to figure this thing out. But get it going quickly before everyone else assembles their staff.
I got to tell you, man, I am not as passionate getting my panties in a wad over who the DC might be. I want the players. I want the player.
I disagree, Rob, because we got the great offense.
Now certainly, I understand.
But like, for instance,
you got to have somebody that's competent.
Right.
As long as it's somebody out of Raheem's friendship circle, I'll be happy, right?
Ah, now why do you say that?
Why do I say that? I don't know.
You feel
I don't know. I mean, why would I say such a thing?
There was some talk that he did kind of take things over later in the season. Then, yeah. As I know I brought this up a few times last week and this week, that when we asked him about it, he kind of said, nah, you know, I'm involved in all aspects of it. But Lou Anarumo is a guy that when he finally got to be a DC, was killing it. That team was a team that got after the quarterback. They just, as you guys know, the Bengals, this year there were some injuries. They still have a great edge rush. But, man, their secondary, poof,
yep.
That team, just, you saw it. I mean, just a degree of competent defensive play, and you're in the playoffs. They just lost so many games where
– your quarterback had a historically good year. Yes. Should be considered for MVP. Not going to win it, but right. You know what I mean. Should at least be in the conversation.
Everything was dialed score. But anyway, Lou Anarumo was the first candidate, and as you mentioned, Wink Martindale is in there. We mentioned, you know, Ryan Nielsen. I doubt that because, you know, first off, a new coach comes in, and a lot of folks – like the job Ryan Nielsen did. But, yeah. You know, getting back to, you know, your point initially, you want to know about the Jims and Joes. If our general manager can't provide good Jims and Joes, I need somebody who's a magician with the X's and O's. And that's where you get back to, like, Dean Pease. Dean Pease made some nice – let's be honest.
Yeah, he's like 75 years old,
though. I'm not saying bring him back, but I'm saying he made freaking lemonade out of some pie, okay?
He made no, I can't say that
chicken
on the air.
Out of, yes. He made chicken salad exactly out of that.
But Anarumo's known to be able to do that as well.
Okay.
As far as being innovative and schematic and everything else, but the last 2 years didn't work out. Sometimes with people like that, a change of scenery is good. I don't know.
Right. They're kicking the tires as a process here. But Robert, if I had to pick one guy, it would be Robert Saleh. The one I'm not really interested in, Jeff Ulbrich, because when Saleh got in New York, we talked about it yesterday, he didn't improve the defense.
No.
Went backwards.
No.
And Hassan Reddick actually got on the team. So,
Saleh might get a head coaching gig. You never know.
Yeah, he interviewed yesterday in Jacksonville, correct? So, and he, I think, is... I said yesterday to Carl, go come spend a year with us, because you could argue this isn't a great year for job openings, even though Chicago and Dallas, you know, 25 years ago, oh, my God, the greatest jobs
in
the NFL.
Well, you heard what Troy Aikman said about Dallas.
Yes.
Dallas, no, it's not as not what you think anymore because of Jimmy.
He said that on
I'm sorry for Jerry Jones.
He said on ESPN, he's 100% right.
Yep.
And I thought Troy, I mean, like, it's funny because Cowboy fans, Troy hates Cowboys. No, Troy was on a Cowboys team that was built by a football man named Jimmy Johnson, and subsequently they've hit on a few guys, missed on most, hold on to coaches way too long, or they're too cheap to fire a coach. How do you keep Mike McCarthy after that Packers loss last year?
Yeah, I agree.
Blew my mind. Hey, man, it is the Daily Download brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. You want to lose some LBs for the new year? You know, peptides are a great way to kind of combine. If you've got a diet program, there's a lot of ways. They got some answers for you right next to the battery at ATL Live Well. Let's talk about the Hawks, story number two.
Story number two.
Tough road trip on the West Coast. Jalen Johnson banged up, and can the Hawks get to some traction against a team which, you know, Phoenix ain't great, but we're both 500 right now going into tonight's matchup.
Remember last year, what he missed, 26 games with an ankle injury? The Hawks were 9-17. Where are they this year without him? They're, 2-4 without him. So you kind of need him.
DeAndre Hunter's able to stay healthy, but Jalen Johnson, and, you know, it was last year, Carl used to say, hey, get some shoes that fit, man. Get those ankles ready.
Right.
Because it's an 82-game season. And, you know, I've been clamoring every time we have Steve Coonan on. I go, what are we going to do with the trade deadline? Well, now we're 3 weeks out.
Yeah.
Time to have this conversation. Okay, are we going to do nothing? Are we going to try to improve?
You've got to have a good backup for Trey.
Let me ask you this. Are you satisfied with Capella? He's been, by Capella's standards, Clint has put a lot of work in.
Yes.
He's always going to miss the high percentage shots down low.
Kind of,
we get that. But would you think you would be willing, because it's attractive.
He's a piece.
Expiring
Clint
contract.
Capella misses more layups. As the old saying goes, if I had a nickel for everyone he misses,
you'd have about $2,500 right now.
I say go out and get Colin Sexton from Utah. He's chirping at his teammates, Atlantic kid, of course, you know.
Yep. You need a viable backup for Trey.
Yeah.
Beyond Bufkin. You're right. That's one
I mean, Trey's workload is
right. Well, if you're looking for, I mean, if you could, if you want to keep Capella, guys always like I'm talking about the family jewels with Capella. You're going to have to give to get. There's got to be something else. We don't exactly have the draft equity because of all the bad trades we made in the first round. But then I could argue, as I always say to Carl, go get somebody with, you know, one eyebrow and no vowels in his name so we have a little more size when we get to the playoffs, when you've got to start throwing some bodies around, like when you got to go to the Garden or you got to take on whoever it's going to be, you know, the physicality, the nature of the playoffs.
Are you still thinking that this team's trending in the right direction? I still do.
I do. I think it's just a bad West Coast trip.
That's going to happen.
With some injuries.
I mean, they've been kind of dreadful against the Western Conference this year, the Hawks have. But it seems like maybe a piece away.
Right.
But you're seeing things that were their shortcomings last year being a strength almost.
I'm with you. I feel this team could probably do some things to improve. I mean, I just think you've got to be looking to improve the roster at the trade deadline, because this feels like with the right moves, you're certainly out of the – we've been flirting with the 6 and the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference. If nothing else, guys, let's take that step out of the stupid play-in run.
Please, can we?
Right.
And you thought they were trending to maybe get a 6 or 7. They still could.
Yeah, and the East is super top heavy, and still teams look fallible.
Well, let's think about what the NBA is. Now, probably about a month from now, the players are going to start playing like they're interested. They're going to play with a little sense of urgency. They're not going to be sleepwalking like they normally do. And then they're going to start bearing down a little bit.
All-star break is when things get cooking. That's why we had the play-in tournament. I mean, come on, guys. I think we put that thing together. You know, TV viewership is struggling. It depends on which article you read and who's paying for who to say what.
Remember, I brought that up to Steve Koonin, man. He shot it. He was just horribly offended.
Yeah. Well, the meme that was on the other day, we were talking about this on our show. It's like, you know, run down the floor, clang a three, you know, run down the floor, clang a three. You know, it's just, that's not compelling. Let's move on to the playoffs, which was last night's story number three.
Story number three.
I liked the Rams last night. I went heavy.
Oh, did you?
I took
put your money where your mouth is.
Matthew Stafford's been there, done that, and he did that. Take a listen to Matthew Stafford making a play.
From a loaded set with Nacua, the only receiver. The play fake. Boot out to the left side. Matthew flips his hips, fires middle, alone at the goal line. His tailback, Kyren Williams. Touchdown, L.A.
That's right, baby. They were off and running, and the play that everybody's talking about. Look, I like Jared Verse. He was a high motor guy at FSU.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody had him at 8. So, look, if Michael Penix...
Where did he go?
He went to the Rams in the middle of the round.
Yeah.
The middle of the first. But if you look at, you know, where he's at now, he's the only guy, defensive end in the rookie class, defensive player, who's a Pro Bowler, and he made this happen last night.
Darnold balls out. Picked up by Verse. Off to the races. And gone for the touchdown.
With a Randy McMichael-like dive into the end zone. You know, you're trying to clear the crossbar on that. It looked great. The big story last night, Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold. How much money did he...
Well, between the Lions game and this game, here is Sam Darnold on his last few weeks of play.
You know, I clearly just didn't play good enough the last couple weeks. Left too many throws out there that I would usually make, and got to take better care of the football today, especially. I feel like I can be a lot better in terms of just moving on with my progressions, not trying to force anything. And I give them a lot of credit for the way they came out, they played, and the plan that they had.
Aaron Glenn broke you, Sam Darnold. Aaron Glenn broke you. He took your soul is what he did.
And the Rams said, we can do that. And they did more of the same. And just as we said, to lose a guy like Aaron Donald, he retires, and get 9 sacks in your next playoff game, that's just unbelievable how good they looked. And I also thought, you know, where was the sense of urgency? Troy Aikman and Joe Buck talked about it on the broadcast. You're down 3 scores.
You're down 18. Yeah.
I mean, O'Connell's got to answer for that. We'll play some of that in the
You're huddling up,
right,
and you're running the ball. Down 18 in the fourth quarter. Okay.
Didn't make a lot of sense, and now they're
Raheem
going
Raheem Morris must have been in charge last.
Hey, 14 wins, a whole lot of nothing. This hour of the show, guys, brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for fast cash. That's P-A-D-L-Y, buys.com. That's Padley. Rob's in for Carl. We'll come back. More on the Falcons. And what are we going to do this offseason? Guys, on a Tuesday, we're downtown, man, at State Farm Arena. Just coming in today for the Hawks and the Suns. And by the way, shout out to Wardell, who's working the gate downstairs as you make your way to State Farm Arena. Coming in, I came down Baker Street, winding my way down on Baker Street. That's a Jerry Rafferty reference for you younger guys.
Yes,
you ever heard that song, Chris? All right, Oren, real quick. I know you're the Yacht Rock guy. Tribble is in for Carl. Will you explain to Chris how perfect Baker Street is as a song?
Everything about it is perfect, from the guitar solo to the intro to, like, the saxophone.
Saxophone,
you can't beat it.
Matter of fact, real quick, while we discuss, let me know when it's ready. We'll play about 30 seconds of Baker Street for Chris, and we'll take him back to the great City to City album.
Longer with us, Jerry Rafferty.
That was one of those that I did the 13 for a penny with the Columbia Record and Tape Club. This is, oh, my God.
How many people fell into debt and had warrants out for their arrest?
No.
Columbia Record Club.
This is why it's great to grow up where I grew up in Long Island, and the kids that I grew up with who know had dads that were lawyers. Real quick, let me explain. Hey, now let me give the background for guys under the age of 30. When we were kids, Rob and I, there was an art, it'd be in the TV Guide or the back of Rolling Stone magazine, and it was the Columbia Record
Soldier of Fortune.
Mad Magazine, but the Columbia Record and Tape Club, and to get you to sign up for just a penny. You then go and pick like 13 records or cassettes, or even 8 tracks if you're of a certain age.
Right.
And then you'd have to pay like, what, it was $1, $2 a month, whatever it was after that. So we would all load up, and you'd be like, oh my God. And I remember when I think I was like 11, even though some of these bands I never even heard yet, I knew the names. So, okay, let me see what Grateful Dead is. I get that. I ordered that. I hated it. Led Zeppelin, I like that. Yep. You know, just loaded up the Doors and everything. And so now you got 13 records, and it's great. And then my buddy Adam Lowenstein, who then comes at the house, we're having to listen to some music on the hi-fi, and he goes, you know, my dad told me contracts with minors are unenforceable. I go, excuse me?
Ah, well.
So we got ourselves a post office box, changed our names, this and that, and we must have had about 200 records and cassettes from the Columbia Record and Tape Club.
Do you still have any of those left?
You know, I got rid of all my vinyl. I had a storage unit down on Piedmont, and when Becky moved in with me, I moved out of my swinging bachelor pad to the 2-bedroom.
Yeah.
We were down living in Midtown at Spire. I just couldn't afford all that. You know, I got the storage unit, this and that. I put an ad in a Craigslist, and a guy gave me, I think he gave me $5,000 for the whole thing. All the vinyl, all the turntables, all my stuff, just to get taken off.
Wow,
my hands.
Just take it off my
take
hands.
My hands. Huh? Which, you know, probably, you know, if you really got down to nuts and bolts, yeah, probably lost about.
So you do not have a hoarder mentality.
No.
That's what you're saying. I don't either. I'm going to just get rid of stuff. Nothing, I don't get that sentimental about things.
I see that stuff on TV, and I don't get it. I know my dad, because we moved around a lot when I was a kid. Not a lot, but we moved. My dad, we traveled light, you know.
Yeah,
boom.
Man.
Spring cleaning was a thing. And real quick, for Chris, this would have been one of my Columbia Record and Tape Clubs. Take a listen to the majesty that is Baker Street. It's a big buildup. Yeah, Chris knows.
He
knows
it now.
Yeah, that's Baker Street. It's great. It's a great song. Why didn't you wait?
Get it right next time. Street. Probably a better Jerry Rafferty song, if you ask me.
Right. I mean, well, Stuck in the Middle with You is the one that a lot of folks know from Reservoir Dogs, right, from Steeler's Wheel, which is Jerry Rafferty with other dudes, which is kind of like a Bob Dylan-esque kind of vibe. But anyway, we digress. Time to talk about the Falcons. How the hell did we get on Jerry Rafferty? How the hell did I get on this?
Because you were talking about coming in on Baker Street.
Oh, that's Jesus. Thanks, Rob, because you know, this is how it all starts. When Rob and I, you think Carl and I sometimes get in a rabbit hole. When I would dribble, it's like a time warp. But no, when I was coming down Baker Street, I took the back way, you know, under, you know, where you pass behind where the College Football Hall of Fame is to come down where the team is, where the Suns will pull in tonight in their team bus. And so then I came up and see what the gulch is. And holy cow, I mean, they are really getting things cooking. I can imagine, fast forward to when the World Cup is here, and imagine having like another Atlantic Station-type entertainment complex with mixed-use buildings and retail and all that stuff right across from State Farm and Caddy Corner to Mercedes-Benz.
That'll be a part of our 15-minute city where after a while you will not be allowed to leave. For your digital ID and social credit score.
I love country living, but if depending on getting back in the city sometimes, you know.
You do like it down there now.
Yeah.
In a
perfect world, you get the best of both, but you don't.
You do,
got to pick one, you know. Last night, 90 minutes getting home because I'm jackknifed at 18-wheeler.
Well, I'm right there in Grant Park, man. I'm a block from MARTA.
Right.
So I just hopped on MARTA. I'm good.
Easy, please. Coming right on down, man. Hey, ESPN predicts the Falcons' draft strategy is? No big surprise. Defensive line.
Oh, I was about to say.
Yeah. No, Mark Raimondi and the guys, they kind of do these capsules.
Wide receiver.
No, well, you know
running
what?
Back.
Don't rule that out. Don't rule that out with our.
Well,
with
the position groups that are strongest in this draft are your interior defensive linemen, your safeties and cornerbacks especially.
Right.
It's a sexy draft for that group.
And we need it. And we need to get the first and the second round right. Don't have a third round pick because of Matthew
Walker.
Judon.
Jalen Walker.
Yes, but will he be there? See,
probably won't.
A lot
be
of
there.
Dog fans. And again, I know that if past is prologue, you won't come within a mile of an Athens-based player. They just have an aversion to Georgia Bulldogs. Dimitroff did. I get
That's
it.
That's always been the weirdest thing ever.
You realize we went back, we did the numbers last year, and if you look back, it's like literally in over like 40-some-odd or 50 years of drafting, there's literally less than 12 Georgia Bulldogs.
I think the very first one was Wayne Radloff from one of Dooley's teams, a center who played briefly for the Falcons. And then you see all those Eagles players the other night, former Bulldogs, they all posed for a picture after their playoff victory.
Lassiter with the Texans. You see all these guys that are out there doing it. It's just you see Bulldogs on the teams that are still playing. and it just makes me nuts. So you would hope that, now, again, guys, if you're new to this conversation, no, we're not sitting here like a bunch of goobers going, oh, they're just draft dogs. No, it's got to make sense. But, I mean, but the fact is, teams that play for championships and teams that have guys that are going in the top 10 are generally guys I'd like to be in business
there's
with.
There's a pedigree there, isn't there? Yeah.
You know, and no, you could argue that Howie Roseman has a Georgia compulsion, and it's worked out pretty well for him, hadn't it?
It certainly has.
You know, I just feel as a fan, I don't care where the guy. Look, yes, there's a place for the Troy Andersons of the world, but sometimes the name brand guy from Oklahoma is better than the
dude.
Well,
he's a third rounder though. What are third rounders supposed
second,
to be?
Second round.
Troy yeah. was a second. Are you sure he was
yes.
a second?
Oh, I've done this. I've researched See, this argument. A million
it makes
times.
A difference where you yeah. draft guys in rounds. What's expected of
right? Like Ruka Roraho, row your boat. That's a pick that you moved. You're telling me he's one of the 35 best players that came out of that draft.
We don't know, do we?
Well,
we don't know yet.
But wasn't this a year with us? Now, it doesn't matter now because Kirk Cousins is it's gone where it's gone. But the argument that Carl and I were getting, and I think Carl, I don't speak for Carl, but I think he agrees with me, is you had a 2-year sense of urgency yeah. that in whatever Penix was going to be or not once you decided to go down that road, that you still need to get impact in the second round. And there were a bunch of corners that you passed on. You went with veterans opposite A.J. Terrell. It wasn't great.
Right.
And then you went with a project. You went with Rook, who's maybe got a tremendous upside. Hey, it takes 3 years to evaluate. The argument I'm making is, why don't you go for the sure thing when you've got a pretty tight window? You're trying to maximize your talent.
Well, you didn't have a Roro didn't appear in a game till what, week 5? Then he went on the injured reserve, and then towards the end of the year, you started seeing him
right.
pop here and there.
I think there's certainly potential there. I think if you want to get it down to the second round draft picks, Ebba Cady is a solid guy now. He's yep. giving you 6 sacks each year. Maybe another defensive coordinator gets more out of him.
What do
maybe
you do
with a fire breather on the other end on a 4-3, maybe he really pops.
The kid out of Tennessee, everybody thinks he's
Pierce.
Pierce, yeah.
I mean, there's still so much. You know, we got so much to go before you get to the combine, the pro day, the late April surprise. Somebody has a loaded 45 on his carry on his way to the combine. You know, that story drops. You know, who tested
the Laramie Tunsil you know, gas mask?
Who tested positive for horse tranquilizers while in Indianapolis? There's always these things which come out. But that aside, there's a degree of talent in the SEC. And it can be Alabama, it can be Georgia. I mean, you know, you took a guy in, certainly in Bijan Robinson from a program like Texas, and it speaks for itself. You see the athleticism, you yep. see what he's capable of.
Do you think, I know Terry Fontenot's got undue criticism for picking all these skill players in the first round, but it's been home runs with every one of them outside of Kyle Pitts.
Correct.
And, you know, over 50% of those guys end up being busts.
Right.
I think he has been. Right. He has drafted better than people give him credit for in a lot of ways.
Drake certainly works. I think Drake could have been a 1,000-yard receiver yeah. with reliable delivery systems. Mariota could
I mean,
be,
he's you know. Destined for Ring of Honor if he stays healthy
Correct.
And stays
the way
there.
He's playing. You're yeah. right about that. Yeah. You know what? We got time. 404-726-0929. Oren, you're talking to Big O back at the ranch. Chris is here with us at State Farm as Rob's in for Carl. 404-726-0929. I don't know how much you guys, Falcon fans, have been following this. Do you have a preference for a defensive coordinator? Do you have a guy that, and again, first off, he's got to be available. Okay, you know the list. You can look at the Falcon website. They've got the list. And there's a number of websites. We've got articles about it as well. But Robert Saleh, we just talked about.
What are the Wink failed head coaches are out there?
Wink
you go
Martin
for the failed
Dale.
Head coach.
Well, hey,
down, right?
How about Dennis Allen?
Dennis Allen?
Dennis
yeah.
Allen's a good defensive coordinator. He was certainly.
You mentioned Saleh, yeah.
Yeah, Dennis Allen kicked our butts enough as a DC for Sean Payton.
Yes, he did.
You know, and then I'm not, like, we're not talking about being a head coach.
See, I don't think that's a terrible idea by any stretch of the imagination.
I mentioned that yesterday no. on the show. Lou Anarumo was the first guy that stepped in to interview for the DC position. He, of course, of the Bengals' success, going all the way, winning the AFC Championship, having the Rams on the ropes for a half, and, of course, the injuries the last couple of years. Some guys, Rob's making the case, I'm being too hard when I say it's a hard pass. Look, whoever can do the job, Rob then gets into, we got to get the right guys, which that got us into this whole personnel yeah. conversation. So if you've got a feeling one way or the other, I just think Saleh, because I think what he did with the 49ers, I think speaks for itself.
I thought it was a foregone conclusion he was going back out to San Francisco.
That was the story last week. That was interviewing. He just, the report was yesterday.
I mean, he's
interview
he's getting his interview, certainly, right. but ultimately maybe he'll end up going back there. I don't know.
A couple guys hitting us up on the text line. They're with us. They think Sal is a guy they'd like to hear from. Chris is here. What do you got for us, man?
Let's go out to Brandon.
Hey, B. Brandon, you're on Dukes of Bell with Rob today. Hey, man, what you want?
Hey, man. I called in a couple weeks ago, and I told you that the Falcons were a dumpster fire. I think they proved that during the Washington game there. But maybe Sal is the choice. I don't know, man. I don't really have faith in these guys to make a good choice. We'll find out. Appreciate it.
So our rough and running with a sea of positivity.
The learned helplessness of the Falcons fan base.
The post-Christmas into the New Year's vibe is out there on social media and the calls.
The overall malaise, lethargic malaise.
So you guys.
I feel it, man. I understand.
I feel it's a dysfunctional franchise until you prove me otherwise. Look, guys, I told Rob, and Rob's called me. Rob basically said, bull blank. When I said, next year when we're up at camp, no more of this, woohoo, we're going to win 10 or 11 games. Crap,
I will. They'll suck me back in again.
I'm never doing that again. I promise on the soul of my father up in heaven with Gil Hodges that I will not go down that road again.
I'll be Sisyphus and I'll push that rock up that stupid hill again.
Who's up next, Chris?
We got Chico.
Chico, hey, man, you're in the game, bro. What you got, man?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Thank you for taking my call. We do have a Hey Man L down in Fayetteville at Eden Fresh Grocery Store.
Oh, nice.
So shout out to the beer. All right.
Man, thanks, brother.
Okay. Let me I got to back up to get to my point. All right, remember when Matt Ryan was here? Every year he had to endure someone new. Quarterback coach, head coach, offensive coordinator. Would it be too much if Raheem just took over the defense and had an assistant, and the assistant just would have been Jimmy Lake? Would that be too much to ask?
I don't know. I mean, Jimmy, generally when one guy takes it over, the other guy kind of steps away. But I said it to Carl on Monday. I said it on Friday. Why doesn't Raheem just run the defense? Because if Raheem so oversaw that, here's the good news, bad news. If Raheem helped you get after the quarterback, that's one thing. But if Raheem also helped you look like an absolute disaster in the Minnesota game and that last game.
And the Carolina game that we were at,
Then let's talk to Wink Martindale and Lou Anarumo. Let's talk to Robert Saleh.
I want new blood that's out of his little spear. Somebody new that has done it before. Somebody with experience.
And another thing,
I really like the Dennis Allen thing.
I bring up Dennis Allen because he's been there, done that, knows our talent, knows been the division.
And it'd be hilarious for him to stick it up the keister of New Orleans.
And whether or not Onyemata is going to be on this roster, is he going to be a cap casualty? That's a possibility. Yeah. But he coached Onyemata and Caden Ellis.
Yeah.
You know, he generally had pretty good success making the most out of his secondary. You know, so it's not the worst case. We got one more, Chris.
Yeah, let's finish up with Wendy.
Wendy, should be ladies first. Hey, lady, you're on Dukes and Bell.
Hey there. Well, I was actually going to suggest the same thing that caller just said, but I was going to take it a step further in saying that maybe Raheem should become the defensive coordinator, and then we find another head coach.
I hear that. You're not the only person who feels that way. That's not an option, though. That's not on the table. But thanks, Wendy. Appreciate you. I wanted, you know, for the record, I did want Jim Harbaugh. I was told that was an impossibility, something that could never happen.
It wasn't going to happen.
No, you throw enough money at anybody, it happens.
No, I don't think
so. All right. Hey, man, it is Rob Tribble in for Carl Deuce. Appreciate your phone calls, guys. We'll get that fired up later. Talking about who they're going to talk to for D.C., Wink Martindale, Lou Anarumo, we talked about already in first. More names to come, and that's fine. Throw a wide net and see what you can find. Dennis Allen's not a bad idea. We'll come back. A full NFL blitz. Did Sam Darnold just kick himself right in the checkbook last night with that performance? Live at State Farm. Get ready for Hawks Suns. It's Dukes and Bell.